Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then verse 18 says this, and all things of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. There it is, reconciliation, reformation. You know, we are to be reconciled with Christ. That's exciting to me, because remember I just told you, I woke up every morning thinking, what is today all about? Why am I even here on earth for today? But when I got saved, now I know why. I wake up in the morning and I say, people need Christ. I can live for Christ. Christ is in me. I can tell others about what God did for me, you know, and now I have a purpose in life. God gave me a purpose. And if you got saved, you have a purpose too. And so that's exciting. So the first one is, I started playing with the PowerPoint. Did you see that? It kind of flipped. I had a little fun today, or yesterday. God offers the fruit of the Spirit, faith. So if you have your handouts, that's the first blank there, faith. And every one that we've shown, we had a definition, right? So here's the definition. Definition of faith. Faith would be, according to Steve Currington, he laid this out. God gave him this, a personal measurement of the level of confidence in what Christ has done, he's done it, and will do, he's going to do it for me, do in me, through me, and for me, or for you. Amen? That's exciting. God's going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. But he can in me, and through me, and for me. And praise the Lord for that. Every one of us that have trusted Christ as Savior have our own measure of faith. Yours is different than mine, and mine's different than yours. You know, I've met some Christians that I marvel at their faith. I'm like, how do they have that kind of faith that they can face obstacles and consequence, or not consequence, but different things in their life? Faith, by not worrying, by not doubting it, by just believing that God's going to take care of this. I don't have to worry about it. I see a woman in the back here that has faith that God's going to take care of her. And every treatment that she has, I go back and shake her hand, and I don't want to embarrass her, but she knows. I shake her hand, she's smiling, excited about what God's doing in her life, even going through treatments and things. Praise the Lord for that. The Valdez is right back here. Amen. Thank you for your faith. But we have different levels of faith. God has given us the whole power in us, that faith of the Holy Spirit. But we experience it differently. Why? Because some are closer to God, some are further away, some study more, some don't, maybe. Different things happen. That kind of faith that can move a mountain, God says. Do you have that kind of faith that can move a mountain? I want that kind of faith. Some days I don't, some days I do, right? And that sometimes it happens. Let me see the next one. Let's see the next one, because this is true too. This is the biblical. The Bible definition of faith is in Hebrews 11:1, right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I like I told you before, I listen to different sermons, right, as I'm studying. And on the way to work, I have plenty of time, an hour and a half. That's a whole service, actually, almost. So I get to listen to the whole service. And this preacher was teaching on faith. And he said, the faith is the substance of what the being, right? Hope of things hoped for, we hope for, right? And then he said, the evidence of things not seen. Our salvation is the evidence of things not seen. We didn't see God to trust him. We trusted him by faith, didn't we? That's the evidence. Our evidence is our salvation. The outward of a Christian life is evidence that God is real. God is true. But we can't see him. But we know by faith that he is who says he is, right? By faith, I know the Bible is God's holy word, nothing's wrong. Every dot, every tittle is exactly what God wanted us to have, and he preserved it for us. Praise the Lord for that. That's faith. So the next one that we're on, let me catch up here. So faith is the foundation of the Christian life, for without it we could never trust Jesus as our Savior. Galatians 3:26 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So by faith we had to trust Jesus, didn't we? You didn't see Jesus to trust Christ. You didn't see him standing there and say, trust me. You trusted him by faith. Paul had the opportunity to spend time with Jesus. The apostles got the time to spend time with Jesus, but we didn't. We trusted him by faith, didn't we? By faith, we trusted Christ. Think about this. Justification from the penalty of sin and sanctification from the power of sin are both experienced by faith. I cannot please God, and you can't either without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith, the Bible says. Some of you may already know this, but if not, this may help you. Justification is dependent upon faith and information, but sanctification is dependent upon faith in personal relationship. Personal relationship. That's something that I missed when I was growing up, by the way. I don't know if it was the churches, if it was just a teenage, didn't want to hear kind of thing, but the personal relationship. I heard about religion. I heard about being in church. I heard about all the different Baptists and Pentecostal and different denominations, but I've never heard about personal relationship that I can remember. And that's important. Personal relationship with Christ is important. Where do I get this from? Where do we get this little illustration that I gave from? Well, when Eve responded improperly to the outside influence of the possessed serpent, the devil, she did so because she doubted God's goodness to her. She thought God was holding something back, right? And she wanted to know more information about God and how to be like him, like God. So she ate of the tree of knowledge and plunged mankind into utter darkness. Since that time, he has set off on a journey to know more about, know more about doing good in his own power. Is that true today or what? Everybody wants to do good in their own power. I want to do good, in our own power. I've tried that, and it's not easy. Doing good in your own power. Even today, there are people that are trying to create humans better than God. I don't know if you know that, but it's true. Let's make a robot. A robot will be better than God. Computers will do more than God could do. Different things like that. What I say is, sorry, but God created all things. Man has rejected a personal relationship with God. God's created everything. All we're doing is taking what God created and trying to make something new, right? God still created it, though. And so God wants a personal relationship with his children. That's important. The good news is this, is that God sent his son to mankind to live a sinless life, to give his life for ours. God's son Jesus came to live his life for ours, buried and rose again. As Resurrection Sunday we saw a couple weeks ago, still fresh in our minds, may we reflect on the fact that God has allowed us to have a personal relationship with him through Jesus. That's a miracle right there. If you would think about that, if you dwell on that, you find yourself harder to sin more. Harder to walk away from God, harder to do things that you wanted to do, just by thinking about that. God sent his son that we might be able to communicate to him again. He wants to have a communication with you. He wants to talk with you. The God that created everything wants to talk to me. That's amazing. So we see that, and then sanctification is allowed us now so we can be set apart and experience God removing the power of sin from our lives. Do you know you don't have the power of sin on your life if you're saved? Praise the Lord for that. Do we sin? Yes. Do we have the power? If God's in you, you don't. Praise the Lord for that. As a believer in Christ, we are to live freely in a bound world, but without faith, it's impossible. Why? Because without faith, all we would do is stay in the work of the flesh, doubt. We doubt everything that comes our way. We doubt everything that comes into our life, everything that somebody would say to us. Pastor would get up here and preach a message. You'd probably doubt that if you didn't have Christ in you. And that always brings what? It brings worry. It brings worry. It brings doubt. We're hearing things on the news and things in our communities that might cause worry or might cause doubt. If God is real and he's really loving me like he says, then why is all this happening? So we could doubt, but we can trust God too. And that's what faith is. So I'm reminded of things that have come in my life and family after I got saved. I would be at such peace to have faith that God would be with us as we go through it. You know, I've told you before, we have seven kids. We raised seven kids. That's a lot of kids to raise, right? And they're all close together. So, you know, like four teenagers at a time or three in diapers at a time, or, you know, you can start thinking of all kinds of things if I say that. But, you know, but things came in our life, you know. I had a job, but it wasn't a really high-paying job. And Melanie had to stay home with the kids because childcare would have broke us anyway, right? Try to put seven kids in nursery. Oh, man, childcare. So we had rough times financially. But when we got saved, before we weren't saved. We were raised in an unsaved, and there was a mess. But when we got saved, we had financial difficulties. And out of the blue, we'd be trying to figure out something for dinner. And out of the blue, there'd be a knock on the door. And we open the door, and there'd be somebody there and say, I got a, you remember the big SUVs, what are they called? Excursions, but they're called something else back then. But the big SUVs. And they say, come to my truck back here. We just went shopping. We got a whole truck full of groceries for you. It'd be full. And it wasn't just for dinner. God said, I'm going to meet you need be past this dinner time. You know, so he just filled each and every need. And God does that by faith. We trusted him. By faith, we as a family would pray for dinner, for lunch, for groceries, for paying the lights, or whatever it might be. God supplied the need through all that. And you could give a testimony of that, I'm sure, of the different things that God had did. God took ugly things and made them beautiful for us. It's a beautiful sight. Did it look nasty and life-threatening at times? Sure it did. But God, I love that in the Bible all the time, it says, but God kept his promise that if I would go through it by faith in him, he would be pleased and make a way to come out of the other side. And he always did. We didn't lose one kid. We left one at church, and our pastor had to call us, come back and get your kid. But, you know, other than that, they're all good. So, don't laugh. You probably did the same thing. You left your kids somewhere. Pastor, I know you have. No? Oh. By contrast, every defeat we experience in this walk with Christ is because of the work of the flesh, doubt. We doubt things. We doubt a lot of things in our life. We could talk about this virus this last year. I've doubted it sometimes. I doubted God. Why is this virus? What's going on? Why are our churches being shut down? What's going on, God? But then I started praying, and God gave me some things. Maybe God's pruning the church. God did that before. Maybe he's pruning the church. Maybe he's getting the ones that aren't saved out so the church can grow again. Because, you know, if a tree has dead leaves and dead branches on it, it's going to start dying. It's not living happily, healthy, right? Same with the church. So maybe that's why. So as I was teaching different times in the Friday night addiction program, I always love giving different illustrations, because for me, when pastors give illustrations, it just brings things to life a little bit too. And I do it even at home and at work. I'm just a comedian a little bit, but I have fun with it. And so let me give you some illustrations of maybe that'll help you with faith a little bit. So let's think about a pilot. Let's think about an airplane for a minute. So you buy a ticket and you board this airplane, right? Do you meet the pilot before you get on the plane? You never see the pilot, do you? Because they got him locked in the cockpit now. It used to be, I know back before, probably before my day, the pilot would meet you at the door and shake your hand or whatever, welcome you on board. But you don't see the pilot anymore. But you board that plane, and you go 30,000 feet in the air, not knowing who's flying this plane. He could be, well, I won't go into that, but you're trusting this guy to fly you across the country. Melanie and I trusted a pilot that we never met, never saw, don't know anything about, flew us to South Africa, 38 or 28 hours across the sea. But I trusted him. I had faith in him to take me there. We put faith in somebody we haven't seen on earth. Why can't you put faith in a God that you haven't seen? That he's going to get you through. He's going to get you through this virus. He's going to get you through this pandemic, whatever it is. He's going to get you through it. We trust him by faith, don't we? I thank God sometimes for things like this. Because you can see growth. You're going to see growth. How about a chair? Let's take a chair for an example. You don't come into service and pick that chair up and check it all out and make sure the legs are strong and stuff, do you? By faith, you come in and sit down. That's a different kind of faith. That's not the Holy Spirit faith. But that's kind of the same idea. You're trusting that chair, and you sit down in it. When's the last time you sat in the chair and it fell out and you fell on the floor? Only when that guy behind you pulled it from you, right? No, that's the only time it happened, right? But we put faith in different things on earth. Why can't we trust a Heavenly Father, a creator of everything? Why can't we trust him? Why can't we put faith in him like that? We can because we have him in us. That's the Holy Spirit fruit, all right? So we live our life alive in Christ. I always put the "in" big like that. That's a big word right there. Even though it's a little word, it's a huge word. Because the Holy Spirit didn't always live in Christians, didn't always live in people. In the Old Testament, Pastor taught that, I think it was Wednesday night. On the Old Testament, he came upon people, didn't he? And then he left. He came upon and left. Did his duty, did what he wanted to do. But now he lives in us, in Christ, through our faith. Galatians 2:20, this is what I wanted you to see. I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead with Christ. I was crucified with Christ when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Nevertheless, I live. That's not me that's living, not I that lives, but Christ liveth where? In me. Why? In the life which I now live in the flesh, we're still in the flesh, I live by the Son of God, Jesus. I live by the Son of God who loved me. He still loves me. He loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for me. He gave himself for you. Nobody took his life. Those soldiers didn't take his life. He gave it for us. That's a gift. Online people, that's a gift. If you haven't trusted Christ, that's a gift that God's given you. All you need to do is trust him. Give your life to him, and you can have this faith. I want that faith. Trust Christ. You can have that faith. The only way we're going to live this life dead to self and alive in Christ is to live it by faith. Think about it this way. If I will submit myself to the fruit of the Spirit, faith, each day, all day, it will allow God to work in our lives. Yes, it's very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. Amen? These days are very uncomfortable to live each moment by faith, or to live each moment and each decision by faith. I said decision, too, because it's part of it. Every decision you make should be by faith. You should be talking to God first and then making a decision. You shouldn't just say, I'm going to make this decision. All right? By faith. But that's why God sent the Comforter, because it's uncomfortable. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. So when things become unknown, we can be comforted by the Holy Spirit. So I hope you're getting this like I am. This is exciting. All right. We often prefer the work of the flesh doubt. Now, we talked already about this, but look at this here. This is very important. And I didn't even have it in my notes. I had it penciled in or penned in there, but it's so important. This verse stood out to me in the preaching of God's Word when I was listening to the sermon on faith this week. Right there. Oh, no, it isn't right there. Let's do the definition first, and then I'll give it to you. This definition of doubt. An attitude of unbelief characterized by rebellion and disobedience toward God. That's what doubt is. If you're doubting, that's what you're doing. Romans 14:23, the last part of Romans 14:23. For whatsoever, and this was big red letters out in front of me. Not red because that's Jesus, but big red letters, right? For whatsoever is not from faith, say it, is what? Is sin. If we don't do it by faith, then we're sinning. And I know I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I don't want to sin. So how am I going to do that? By faith, I'm going to make a decision. By faith, I'm going to step out and do what God's called me to do. By faith, I'm going to be under my pastor. I'm gonna if he wants me to do something, I'm gonna try to do it the best I can. You know, if I'm at a store, my pastor taught me first when I was first saved. My pastor taught me when you're in a store and you see a mess, you didn't do it right. Clean it up anyway. You know, and be a good Christian, be a light. And so that's part of it. So by faith, without faith, it is sin. All right, so three reasons why Christians fail to live by faith, and we'll be done because we're out of time. I could still talk for another hour, but we're out of time. So let me quickly give you these three reasons why. Some doubt things because of intellectual reasons. We call them the thinkers, right? The thinkers. They're thinkers. They're focused too much on knowing about God. I want to know about God. I want to know about God. I want to know about God. But they don't want to have that personal relationship with God. Number two, some are emotionally driven. Are you driven by your emotions? I can say I am sometimes, emotionally driven. They doubt what they know to be true. I know it's true, but I can't see it because of all this craziness going on. I just can't see it. But I know it to be true. That's emotionally driven. They doubt what they know to be true because emotion driven by doubt. Let's just be honest. Sometimes it's more pleasing and acceptable to the flesh to reject faith. The flesh don't want faith. They don't want nothing to do with God, right? So let's reject faith that way. Number three, some are driven by the desires of their wills, not God's wills. Faith will get in the way of what they want to do. Faith's going to get in the way of what I want to do. You know, I want to do something. Okay, so I want to live in a big mansion. No, not really. But let's say that. But God says, no, I want to keep you humble in a little home. And so I go out and I work and I make a bunch of money. And no, not really. But and I get everything I need and I go find a mansion and I buy that mansion. That's not what God's will was. Because he asked me, he specifically told me to stay faithful to me in a little home. That's a weird illustration. I don't know where that came from. It must have been from God. But but that's the way it is. We want to do what we want to do. We wake up, we put a plan together. We're going to do this today. This is what we're going to do. But you didn't even ask God yet. You didn't even pray and start to spend time with God this morning. How do you know what you're going to do? Well, you woke up this morning, it's Sunday, I'm going to church. I know that's what I'm going to do because that's what I do every Sunday. But you didn't talk to God this morning. Of course he wants you to go to church, but he wants you to be ready for church. He wants you to get your heart ready for church. You've been in that dirty world all week, except if you've been here Wednesday. And he wants you to get clean and ready for church. And so that's a huge one for me. When we get saved, all of the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. Everything the Holy Spirit has, he dwells in us, right? Your growing faith will bring more power. Let's go on. You need that one. We will gain more faith as we yield to the measure of faith that we already have living inside of us. And I've hit that enough today. And then let's get this one in there. Your growing faith will bring more power from God, not because you know about him, rather because you know him. And I'm going to end with this illustration because we're out of time. But I think it's important. God gave it to me. It's got to be important. Let me ask you this question first. Have you been focused on knowing all about God, get into commentaries and all this other stuff, listen to the sermons, get all this in, and knowing about God but not spending time and having a personal relationship with God? That's a question that you have to ask yourself. Where am I at with God? So let me give you this quick illustration. Now, Melanie and I, we just celebrated our anniversary, and thank you for praying for that. It was 4,000 miles in 10 days, and that was with my beautiful wife, and that was fun. It was exciting. And you say, well, I couldn't do that with my wife. Yeah, you could. You'd have fun. But let's say this. So I spent 29 years with my wife, right? More than that, probably 34 years now. I was in 10th grade. But I seen Melanie, but I only talked to her on Sundays and Wednesdays. Now you know where I'm going with this. I only talked to her on Sundays and Wednesdays. The rest of the week, I didn't even talk to her. What kind of relationship would I have with Melanie? my wife. What kind of relationship would you have with your wife? When you dated, you saw her every day, you talked to her every day, you called her up, you sat on the phone for hours, right? But then when you got married, things started going away. When you got saved, you got excited about being saved, but then things started going away. I don't need to talk to God anymore, I'm saved. No, you do. That's a personal relationship. God wants to talk to you every single day, all day long. You know, you can pray without ceasing. You can pray looking up and talking to people, and you can still be praying. God wants that intimate relationship with you. And I'm going to leave it at that because that's important. Intimate relationship with God. What is that about? That's exciting. Talk to God and act like He is your Father, because He is, if you trust in Christ as your Savior. Thank you for the listening to that today. I think that's it. This Daniel, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So praise God for that. Let's close in prayer. I know I went over a little bit. I apologize, but that was good stuff. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for that Holy Spirit gave us this fruit, these characteristics that we can, Father, just submit to. All we got to do is submit to Him, Father. Sometimes that's hard in this world. Sometimes that's hard when we're in busy lives. Father, I pray that each and one, everyone here and online will get the sense that they need to slow down. They need to spend some time with You. Father, in Your word, in prayer, talking with You, two-way communication with You, just giving it all to You, Father. I pray that You'll help us with that. Give us the strength to do that. Be with us. I pray that if one doesn't know You, that they'll trust You today. Father, that they'll commit to You, Father, their sin. Know that they're a sinner, that You are the Savior, and that You can save their life, Father. I pray today they'll trust You. I pray that today that the message will go forth from Pastor and from our missionary, that will permeate our hearts to be more like You as well, Father. Thank You again in Jesus' name. Amen.